helps maintain healthy blood sugar levels with clinically supported levels of garlic, plus a custom blend of vitamins and minerals, and it's odor-free. Take charge of your blood sugar with new Garlique Healthy Blood Sugar Formula. These statements have not been evaluated by the FDA. This product is not intended to diagnose, treat, cure, or prevent any disease. Use as directed.
AM 1340 and 98.3 FM KIHR. News Radio 1300 and 103.9 KACI. And GorgeRadio.com present the Mid-Columbia Today Show with Mark Bailey.
Mid-Columbia Today is brought to you by GorgeNet, Gorge Recovery Service, and Skyline Hospital.
Now, here's Mark Bailey.
And good morning. It's 8:06. I'm Mark Bailey, Mid-Columbia Today. Cameron Eisenberg on the other side of the glass. Nice to be with you. I'm just counting down the hours till I leave today. It's vacation time, so Marty Dane's going to be around with you next week on the program to join Cameron. And we got a great list of guests, by the way, coming up for you. We'll tell you later on in the show for next week. But this morning, we also have a good list of guests as well. Jeff Helfrich is in studio, Oregon State 52nd District Representative. We will talk about what's going on in what went on in Salem and what can we expect. Yes, we're going to talk transportation. We've done it with county commissioners. Now we're going to give a legislator a chance to respond. Then the second half of the show, Dr. Cheryl Rager is going to join us. Columbia Gorge Discovery Center, get the update on how things are progressing post-Rowena fire. It sounds like late August may be the time that they're going to be able to get a chance to finally reopen. So we'll talk all about that with Cheryl in a bit. But first, let's discuss what this day has meant and what it means, at least to some people. 1798 on this day, the U.S. Marine Corps was formally reestablished by a congressional act that also created the U.S. Marine Band. They put that in the act, apparently. That was included. 1804, Vice President Aaron Burr mortally wounded former Treasury Secretary Alexander Hamilton during a pistol duel in Weehawken, New Jersey. Hamilton died the following day. So yes, political infighting can get worse, just for the record. 1859, Big Ben, the Great Bell inside the famous London Clock Tower chimed for the first time. 1864, Confederate forces led by General Jubal Early began a abortive invasion of Washington, D.C., turning back the next day. Babe Ruth made his debut in Major League Baseball this day in 1914. He pitched the Boston Red Sox to a 4-3 win over Cleveland. 1921, fighting the Irish War of Independence ended with a truce. 1960, Harper Lee's novel To Kill a Mockingbird was published. 1972, the World Chess Championship opened as Grandmasters Bobby Fischer of the U.S. and defending champion Boris Spassky of the Soviet Union began playing Reykjavik, Iceland. Fischer won after 21 games. 1979, the abandoned U.S. space station Skylab, for those of you who remember this, made a spectacular return to Earth, burning up in the atmosphere and showering debris over the Indian Ocean and Australia. In 2006, 8 bombs hit a commuter rail network during evening rush hour in Mumbai, India, killing more than 200. Days for today, it is World Population Day today. There was really no explanation with what I found, it just is. National Swimming Pool Day today, and hey, let's face it, this would not be a bad day to take a dip in the pool. National Cheer Up the Lonely Day today, and you begin to think there, especially maybe of our seniors that haven't, you know, been visited for a while. Good time to do that. Always a good time to do that. It's International Essential Oils Day today. All-American Pet Photo Day today. Today's a day to take a picture of your pet, and it is Collector Car Appreciation Day. And if someone who has a dad who had about 15 or 16 cars, I just didn't get that bug that he had. Of course, he was a child of the California 60s, so not a surprise. Food Day and Food and Drink. It's National Mojito Day today, so as we always do, celebrate responsibly. It is National Rainier Cherries Day today, and our cherry farmers could use the support, so if you can pick up a bag, please do so. It is National Blueberry Muffin Day today. We've had a lot of blueberry stuff this week. Apparently, it's blueberry month, so blueberry muffins are always good. And if you're looking for something on the barbecue grill, it's World Kebab Day today. So get out the skewers and put some veggies and meat on there and grill them up. So that's what we've got. That's for what it's worth, which may not be a whole lot. 8:09 in the morning, Jeff Helfrich joins us next.
Teachers are dynamic leaders, shaping a new generation. They bring a variety of perspectives from diverse backgrounds, innovating how they teach to prepare students for our fast-changing world. Achieving this takes skill and expertise. They're tireless explorers, creatively discovering a universe of solutions, telling stories, experimenting, inspiring, mentoring, connecting cultures, and connecting with each other. Leading by example. Experience the unique joy of helping students thrive. Teaching is a journey that shapes lives. Are you ready to begin? Explore teaching at teach.org. A campaign supported by the U.S. Department of Education, Teach.org, and 1 million teachers of color.
There's nothing quite like the feeling of helping a neighbor in need. Right now, many families in the Gorge are without reliable transportation, and you can help make a real difference. Bi-Coastal Media, C.H. Ernest Motors, and Gill's Point S Tire and Auto proudly present Wheels of Hope. This September, one deserving local family will receive the keys to a 2015 Ford Focus. And it starts with your nomination. If you know a family that's fallen on hard times and needs a dependable vehicle, visit GorgeRadio.com to tell us their story. It only takes a few minutes, but it could change their life. Wheels of Hope is made possible by community partners who care. C.H. Ernest Motors, Gill's Point S Tire and Auto, Walmart of Hood River, Wagap, Skyline Hospital, A&C Equipment Repair, Sinclair, A&E Plumbing, Heating, and Air, Bimark, Cascade Farm and Outdoor, and Crestline Construction. Visit GorgeRadio.com today to nominate a family and be a part of Wheels of Hope, because together we drive change.
Mid-Columbia Today is a public affairs program of Bi-Coastal Media Columbia River, AM 1340 and 98.3 FM KIHR, News Radio 1300 and 103.9 KACI, and GorgeRadio.com. Now, back to Mark.
8:12 in the morning. I'm Mid-Columbia Today. Oregon State Representative Jeff Helfrich has made his way in. Good morning, Jeff.
Good morning. How are you doing?
Not bad. I'm sure you're happy to be done.
Oh, I am very happy to be done. Happy to re-engage with the family, taking the load off my wife, Shauna. She took a lot of responsibilities on while I was gone for about 6 months.
And that's worth noting because of what the legislature has evolved to, how important it is to have a support system from your family and your staff for everybody who does this.
I couldn't imagine not having the support there. That's the only reason I can do it, because she encourages me to do it. And it's not just, you know, my wife and kids, but it's the staff and the staff's family. And you're gone for 6 months. Yep. It's these, you know, I mapped it out. The 48 hours that I was home, I was actually engaged with the family more like 20, if that, just because you're, you know, by the time you get sleep, up and doing your thing. And it feels good to be home.
Well, let's jump in here a little bit. First of all, we'll start with the good, and that is for this area, the Hood River White Seminary State Bridge.
Yes.
That funding made it through.
I have, from the day we sat here at the beginning of the session, this was my priority, major priority, and I am happy to report back through all the work, whether it was up front or having those conversations on the side where it was at, we got it done.
And the important part of this is, by getting now the states taken care of, that should keep the federal on track as well.
It
keeps everything together.
Yep. I don't know if you saw Senator King and on the Washington side, myself put out a joint press release. And
right.
Washington stepped up. That gave me leverage to really lean into this. And, you know, $20 million from 23 that I was able to get for the bridge, now the next $105 million. That's a big deal for us. That's a big lift, and we're going to get it done. And I think what the conversations that happened in the offices were, we want to just bond it and get it all done now, which would have meant lottery bonds of $105 million now. And I got to talking with the port and their people, and like, we can't spend all that money right now. We have to have it phased out. And so that's why we have $45 million this biennium, the next biennium, $30 million, another $30 million. Mm-hmm. That then stretches that out, but what that allows for is bonding with them, lottery bonds, so other projects can get funded too. So it's just not all Hood River and other people don't, you know, like the Sandy Water Project that's there, that's $12 million. We're able to help bond with that with lottery dollars and help those things. So those are those big things that help, that matter long-term.
So that gets done. The big headlines, though, have been the failure of the transportation package. And where do we go from here? I mean, I think that to me is the big question. I mean, I've had Hood River and Wasco County commissioners on this show, and they have both emphasized how much, how the lack of this, a lack of a package of some kind really impacts their ability to be able to maintain local roads. I mean, I think sometimes we see the stories, and there's a big focus, and not to say it's wrong, on ODOT. But there's just such a trickle-down effect to this with the cities and counties. I mean, that's half of the gas tax funding anyway.
Yeah, this, the, what is it?
50-30-20. They're the 30 and 20. I can't think that we're just going to let this sit here, are we?
You know, rumor has it, and I would say that you will see something come out soon where there's going to be a special session to try to at least get that portion taken care of. And then, you know, there's a real push to make sure ODOT workers don't get laid off. But at the end of the day, there has been that package that we're, the initial package and what we have behind the scenes, some of the negotiations going on to where we ended up, where we're at, all that stuff just kind of fell apart at the end. And it's just, there was too many cooks in the kitchen, I think, and not enough leadership moving forward.
I'm going to just run an observation from the outside. And I'm going to use this comparison. A lot of the budget negotiations legislature went very well. You know, in fact, I remember seeing a story, Democrats and Republicans saying, hey, we worked together. And but they weren't the ones doing the transportation package. If I remember right, it was leadership that was dealing with that. And I guess I start to go, how much of this became too political and not enough about what do we need to keep Oregon moving while at the same time addressing the ODOT accountability issue?
Right. So the ODOT accountability issue, Senator Starr kind of led the charge on that. He and I worked on that. And there's a lot of accountability issues. There's a lot of remaking and making ODOT simpler. And if the preamble for us is not in a law that says the primary function for the state of Oregon is to maintain existing infrastructure and keep it at a condition that's at 60% good, whether it's roads or bridges through the studies, if that's not part of the core mission, then what is ODOT supposed to be doing? And there's a lot of money that was spent in different places, and we can get into the details, but if we aren't maintaining and preserving the asphalt and bridges that we already have, then I think we've lost our way. You can't do so many things. And that I had actually had that as one of the have that as part of the new bill, and my colleagues across the aisle were having none of it because that means people held accountable. Well, and but to your point, when it's about leadership and it came political, it's this gas tax or is it too much here? 14.8 billion, 11.7 billion, all those things like that. So that's those are those things that were there because we were. It was very clear that people didn't. If you look at the polling from the DHM research. And when we went in, it's like cost of living is out of sight. So do we need to keep adding these things on? I drive an EV. We have to make sure they're paying their fair share.
Yes.
I firmly believe that. I'm willing to do that. How do we do that, though? Where's that at? But then all these increases that they're having. And I think the biggest thing that I sat back and watched was people want to do indexing. So we want to leave up indexing to rulemaking.
Let's define indexing real quick.
Indexing is where cost of living, if the prices are starting to go up, they can index to keep up with that. So in theory, costs keep going up. Well, we can just keep raising the gas tax without the legislative assembly blessing that. Say, yes, you can do that. Or no, where can we cut corners? And just we can't keep allowing the bureaucracy, the rulemaking to keep moving that forward and keep raising up rates.
Was there in the Republican side differences over level of ODOT accountability, whether it was good enough or not, and what was being proposed? Because Kevin Mannix, I saw a quote on the Senate side. He voted for something in committee, and he said,
He's House.
Yeah. I'm sorry, House. Okay.
Yeah. You got me confused.
I'm sorry. Wrong one. But the point being more, not so much the chamber is, and he said, I like the ODOT accountability was there, which makes me go, okay, did we have agreement even within a party caucus on what accountability looked like?
Yes, there was. There was agreement. There was agreements on certain parts of that. Mm-hmm. But at the end of the day, that bill didn't go. The 2005 or 2025, the big package didn't go. Then they trimmed it down a little bit to $11 billion. That still didn't go. And there was agreement. Yes, accountability is a big one. Mm-hmm. And then there was agreement on EVs. They have to pay their fair share. Then there's the RUC, which is a complicated thing. But when you tax fuel, when fuel comes into the state, gasoline is taxed when it goes into the big containers, the holding containers.
Yeah.
Diesel, on the other hand, is taxed at the pump. When I go to the gas station here, the local person, the local gas owner, station owner, has to collect that tax and then send that to Salem.
Yeah. Well, and by the way, I emphasize with the guy who's probably got to do the paperwork on that. That's
right. So why don't we do it at the RUC right there? And then the other things that aren't the other things that were agreement on was the trucking. So their weight mile was out of it, it wasn't the truckers were paying more than the actual light vehicles were.
Mm-hmm.
So we had agreement on what that looked like.
Yeah.
But when it came to a 15, 20 cent tax on gas, raising fuel up the way, and those fees that were going on for ODOT were driver's license, kids, you know, your learner's print, $25. And it was going to go up to $100 and some or $79, whatever it was.
Well, how long has it been since we've raised those? I mean, I frankly, I have no idea.
It's been a long, it's been a while. Yeah. I mean, paper costs more,
and
right? Maybe,
and this is where I actually start to go, I get your point on not wanting to do indexing, but this is where I kind of, on some of these fees, maybe you do index with CPI because I've watched governments from local on down, water rates or sewer rate, and they'll put them off for a year or another year. And then suddenly they've got to do a project. They're required to get the rates up high to get the financing, and it's just sticker shock at that point. So, I mean, I could see where maybe we need to think about on the fee type things, maybe not necessarily the tax itself, but, you know, like I said, 25, whatever it is for a learner's permit.
Right.
Maybe we need to put something in for those.
I think there's room for that conversation. Mm-hmm. But if you go back to the mid-2000s when the Tea Party was going on, in Cascade Locks, there was a group of people that put out that says the city cannot raise fees or taxes or anything without a vote of the people.
I hate those. I hate those.
You're right. And so we had to sit there and figure out how do you then create this fee to pay for the fire hall and all the stuff. So we had to go through that whole rigmarole. But that was where people were mad. Like you kept raising our taxes. So how do you balance that? Right.
Well, there is a reality that if we expect service, you mentioned the polling.
Right.
I don't want to pay any more either. Nobody does. But there is a reality, and frankly, the political realm, people want to get reelected. Yeah. You know, that's motivation. They don't want to be the ones that do the vote that raise it. But there is a reality that, you know, we got to pay to keep roads going in some manner. And it's going to mean increases. And whether it's popular or not, leadership eventually has to go, you know, and I'm not saying leadership for a party. I'm talking about leadership as a whole. This is needed for our state. We know it's hard. We know it's difficult, but this is what we have to do. And just have the political will to say, we're going to do this. I hope you're going to find that you get the value that comes out of the increase you're going to have to pay.
Right. Absolutely.
And then that gets to the accountability side.
Right.
That it's got to happen. And that's, you know, I guess that's where I start to go. At some point, it's got to be, we can't worry about political points. It's what's
the right thing to do?
What's the right thing for the state of Oregon?
Absolutely. Mm-hmm. But continuing to raise taxes and not see the benefit, and there's the accountability. So you have to have both.
I'm not arguing that part of it. It's just I don't like the idea of not raising the gas tax. I don't want to pay any more either. But I also appreciate that Oregon's had really good roads for a long time, and they're deteriorating. And we know we've got projects that have backed up. I want to see see those roads get taken care of at that point. And that gets to then the percentage you talk about, what's going to where.
So let's go back to this is kind of in the weeds. The Oregon Disabilities Coalition sued the state because they didn't have access. You see all these ramps, right?
Yes.
So those dollars, they said, we're just going to build X amount when they did negotiations. Well, that was like that was not the smartest thing to do. We're just going to build so many. It's like these high areas that are impacted where there's the high usage of that, let's build those first. But then when we're redoing these new roads, we'll add those in instead of making a ramp to nowhere.
Mm-hmm.
So you're seeing all these things get built. But where did that money come from? The Highway Trust Fund.
Yeah.
Not not from another fund that where it needed, the general fund where it should have came out of. Mm-hmm. That's where some of those shortfalls have happened.
Why was that decision made? What's the
ask
answer?
Ask the attorneys on that one.
Okay. Yeah. Bad
leadership.
And I do also wonder about, when we talk about, you know, where they were built, you'd have to look at the legal decision on that. I mean,
the legal decision broke down to, we will build X amount.
Oh, just number. Period.
It was just a number, mm-hmm. Not like, hey, in the city of Portland, we mm-hmm. need to have this many, so yeah. we're going to redo these roads now, and so we'll get these going now. And yeah. then as it goes out, you can rebuild the roads instead of doing it right now.
So we've gotten into the weeds here quite a bit. I'm going to move us back a little bit to where we're going to go here. A couple of quick ones. Number one, I would be curious, knowing we've got the argument on the ODOT side, mm-hmm. and frankly, my big part of is seeing the cities and counties not get held hostage in this to an extent. Do you see a solution where the cities and counties can be put together as well as possible, even if the state fight has to continue through another session?
I would say that you will probably see a special session where it's going to be a 3 to 6 cents tax, mm-hmm. 3 cents for ODOT to that $357 million to continue services as they are, and then mm-hmm. that other 3 cents would probably go to the mm-hmm. counties mm-hmm. and keep moving that forward.
All right.
There's mm-hmm. no confirmation, but that's just what I'm reading the tea leaves.
Now, of course, everybody keeps talking special session.
Right.
One thing I have pointed out on this show is, you're not going to call a special session until you have an agreement. Right. I mean, I think that would not be the case. I mean,
yep, that's what's, yeah. those happen. Yes.
No reason to send 90 people up there to sit there. That might make things worse, actually, not better.
Well, so here, when I was leader, we had special session for the wildfire funding.
Right.
I had to pay
sure.
for that. So mm-hmm. you go, there is a process that you go through talking with not just the leadership within the chamber, but the governor, because the governor is the one that calls for the special session. Then you have to have mm-hmm. consensus within each mm-hmm. legislative, the House and the Senate. And once you have that, then the mm-hmm. bill gets hammered out. You have a committee hearing. Then it goes probably a 2-day to 3-day special session. That bill gets sent, goes through the committees, the input, and then it goes to the House floor, up, down, vote, move on.
Yeah.
That's how it works.
Hopefully, and that's what we can anticipate. Just going to be a matter of how long it takes to get to that.
Yeah. So if you were mm-hmm. to look at the schedules, the Capitol's under construction. The chambers aren't accessible until August 10th.
Now let me ask this then. Is that actually a good thing, and let the people cool down?
Yeah. Emotions run high.
Yeah.
That was one of the most interesting sessions. Mm-hmm. I went through a long session, and there was a lot of things going 20 different directions at once.
I think for a lot of us, just observing on the outside, one of the things that kind of bothered me a little bit, even though it didn't, not a ton, but it was the adjourning two days before you had to. While this was still lingering out there, you think, okay, can't we stay at the table for another day or two to get us there? Or has this thing just gotten so off the rails with transportation?
I think it just got so off the rails. People are so frustrated. They had some gun bills that came through that we didn't agree mm-hmm. with. And there was a union bill that was just payback for some of the people in the unions. It's like, mm-hmm. look, mm-hmm. We can negotiate on certain things, but we're just going to shove this stuff through. And that's what happens when mm-hmm. you're in the minority party and right. the majority party. But mm-hmm. come on, if we stop talking about guns and abortion, like I've always talked about, we can talk about these other things, we can get more stuff done.
Yeah, and by the way, the polling on that stuff hasn't changed in 50 years.
No, it has not.
but anyway, we'll move on from that. I don't want to spend any time on them myself. I'd rather talk about, because you mentioned wildfire. I want to talk about that for a couple minutes here.
We got funding for that.
Yeah, I've heard mixed bag as far as outcomes, so I'll just let you tell me what you think,
so,
especially with the perspective of in your district as this was going on,
right.
You've got as horrible a fire as you can imagine.
Yeah, we use 57,
59, I think it was.
High 50s
right.
structures and then outbuildings. Mm. I took a tour there a couple times. I was out there yesterday. There is a lot of issues when it comes to infrastructure and rebuilding, and it's a gorge. And is the Columbia Gorge Commission going to allow these places to be rebuilt like they were or not?
That's a really interesting question, by the way.
It is a huge question mm-hmm. because if they, in fact, don't have to have these different standards, there was a lot of people there that didn't have insurance, mm-hmm. that were living in single-wide and double-wide trailers.
It's going to be hard enough for them to rebuild to begin with.
Yes. And just the way the current market is, yeah. My fear is you're going to have some organizations just come in and buy those lots. Nothing happens, and that we lose the housing stock, places to build, or some rich people from California or wherever else buy those and then put these little McMansions out there.
And here we are again at that point with the housing issue.
Yeah. So there's a housing issue. Wildfire funding. It was a tax on... They're called Zyn, I think is what it is. These little nicotine packets. Right. I think the 65 cents a can is what they get taxed now. I can't remember the exact revenue dollars that it generates, but that is what's going to go towards wildfire funding to help offset that instead of out of general fund.
Do you like using that sort of source for funding? I've always had a personal pet peeve about, and we've seen this in other areas, of taking, because let's face it, nicotine and cigarette taxes are an easy one because most people don't pay them. So they're really a great place to go, I guess, for politically for taxes. They are.
Yeah. You're not wrong.
They're, yeah. And I'm going, okay, so you're going to take something we all believe is vitally important to fund, and we're going to fund it with a product that, quite frankly, the state's official position is not to use. And this is not the first time it's happened. I remember one that was a ballot measure, and I had somebody get really mad at me that was a proponent of this because I pointed this out. I mean, I don't mind it for the temporary, but is that really what we want to use for a permanent solution to fund a vital thing that we have to do?
We have to figure out a funding source. And I want to walk back just transportation for a second. Yeah. I think why it went sideways was there was former Senator Boqvist put a PAC together that was going to refer that whole package to the voters if you were going to go a 20-cent tax, and it would be an up-down vote by the voters.
Okay, whole package. I mean, we know we have initiative. We have a law that you can't do more than one issue. Could you have taken the whole package?
This is a referral. Yeah, you could do the referral for that tax.
Tax itself, not the package. I mean, you can only do one subject, as you know, on an initiative.
Right.
And then my question. Now I get to another pet peeve of mine that bothers me, which is, I get the political tea leaves, but I do, and again, this is not the first time. I can go back 20, 30 years on this one. I don't like when the legislature gets spooked away from doing something. Now, this was not the only reason on that package, obviously. No. So it's not fair to put it all on this. But just because someone's threatening to put something on the ballot, I mean, if you think it's the right thing to do, I always think just you vote for it. And if they want to go to the ballot, then let's have the fight there.
Yeah.
I don't like hearing that.
That was one of the things that was out there. It's just like, you should walk. You shouldn't take this vote. You should vote. So you deny quorum for this. Like, we're here to, elected to do a job. I'm going to do a job.
I'll ask you this then, as long as we're here. I mean, we've gone over time, but that's okay. This is good. As you look back, did denial of quorums work?
Eventually, no.
Okay.
I mean, just, you can walk. You had two walkouts in 19 and 20, and then you had the ballot initiative 113. Mm-hmm. And then that kept that barred. Mm-hmm. If you went over 10 days, you now Senator Bonham can't run. There's 10 or I think 10 senators that can't run. So eventually there's consequences. You know, eventually it will happen. Mm-hmm. The only way we get to where we don't do these walkouts and threaten these things is get balance and get to the balance. If the legislative body, if we were at 30-30 or that 28, 32, whatever, we could get there.
But how do you get I mean, I'm looking at the state politically right now. I don't know where you get there. I mean, so what has to happen with it? I always could go, okay, how does the Republican Party have to change to be able to attract voters in places?
They have to show we can govern.
Right.
You have to show that we can govern and we can do as good, if not a better job in doing things. And I think we can talk nationally or locally. When I was leader last year,
I'll say nationally, I don't think helps you right now in this state. I really don't. I mean, that's not you guys' fault.
Here's the thing, right? As Republicans, we have to show we can govern. Mm-hmm. We showed we could do it in the past, but then redistricting and all these other things have changed the calculation. All the voters want us to do is go do our job. They want us less government in their business, and they want to be able to live their life. Right. And they don't want to have to pay a bunch of taxes. If they do pay for something, what are we getting for our dollars when we pay?
We've gotten way out of the weeds here, though. It's been a really good conversation. I hope people have learned and enjoyed through this, and maybe gotten mad too at times. I'm for all three.
Whatever.
You're engaged.
Yeah.
I'm pulling away from the news stuff, for this session, and I'll pull away from the bridge, which I know was number one priority. What else do you? What do you look back and go and say? I'm glad we got this done.
I looked just for the what we got for the district. Mm-hmm. You know, Gresham, $8 million for a fire station. Mm-hmm. That was a big deal. The McCord Creek cable or the power line relocation mm-hmm. project, we were able to get Cascade Locks mm-hmm. made whole for that. Yeah. That was a good one. I wanted to do more with 110 stuff, mm-hmm. get some more money directly to the counties.
Yeah.
The Resolution Center in the Dalles isn't going to get funded because they have too many beds in the way they're
we didn't have a chance to get into that. Yeah, that
that's disappointing.
We'll bring that back, and that's yeah. of course that gets to frankly that's a there's a federal rule issue there that I think is outdated. I'll put it that way.
I was talking to Sheriff McGill, and he laid everything out for me. I'm like, huh, that's interesting that the OHA director said you couldn't do it for these X amount of reasons. And mm-hmm. so,
yeah,
for another conversation for another day.
Yeah, we Phil Brady was on Tuesday from Pasco County. We talked about that some. We'll get to it more when I get back from vacation. But
where are you going on vacation?
Yeah. I'm going to golf courses. That's where
golf course. Good for you. All right.
That's what I do is play golf on the vacation. But. And hopefully you're enjoying
fishing, just hanging out.
You're never off from the legislative reality, but because you go and do things like this. But
these are enjoyable. Some people, give me on the radio. It's fun. It's go ahead and beat me up a little bit. I don't care.
Well, you're not taking my birthday away. I always try to be fair and somewhat knowledgeable, but I also just try to ask what people. Yeah. I think people may are. I bet there's nothing I asked you, maybe other than a couple real in the weeds things.
No.
That you haven't heard before.
Right.
Yeah, you know,
absolutely.
So, no,
we got education funded, right? There's a good one.
Education. Well, of course, that one—that's the never-ending saga on education.
Yeah, it is.
It never quite is.
No, but here's all the money you need. Oh, we still need another billion. What are you talking about?
Well, you know, I'll purrs in some ways. But there's another issue we don't have time for.
All right.
Jeff, thanks
You're
for doing
for that golf course, aren't you?
I'm just counting off the minutes right now. Jeff, thanks for doing
this. Thank you.
Jeff Helfrich, Oregon State Representative. We will come back. We'll do the news real quick. Then Cheryl Rager from the Columbia Gorge Discovery Center. We'll find out how they're doing after the fire after this.
There's a lot going on in your household on a daily. So whether you're trying to clean it, chill it, cook it, wash it, or dry it, we have a selection of appliances to help you run your day.
At Pioneer Appliances, we have the brands you trust, like GE and Hotpoint. Visit PioneerAppliances.com to see how you can save up to $3,000 on qualifying purchases. Pioneer Appliances, we help run your busy home.
Summertime brings a variety of delicious fresh fruits, and Casa El Mirador turns them into fabulous margaritas. Bring your friends and dine outside on their patio and order a margarita or two, and experience why they were voted the best margarita in the gorge for 3 years running. At Casa El Mirador, we use only the finest and freshest ingredients available for our extensive menu, ensuring every bite is a Mexican delight. Casa El Mirador, open every day 11 to 9 at 2nd and Weber in the Dalles. See their menu and order online at CasaElMirador.com.
This summer, escape to where beauty blooms and wine flows. Beautiful Hood River Lavender. Wander vibrant purple fields, breathe in calming lavender, and shop handmade gifts and essential oils that capture the magic of the season. Then just steps away, unwind at Stave & Stone Winery. Sip award-winning wines on the patio, take in breathtaking vineyard views, and toast to summer with friends old and new. Come for the lavender, stay for the wine. Only in Hood River, only for a short time, at Hood River Lavender and Stave & Stone Winery.
We would do anything for our kids, and sometimes the easiest things are the most important things, like checking the back seat when we get out of the car. Children get left or trapped in hot cars and die of heat stroke every year. All it takes is one distraction and the unthinkable can happen, especially on a warm day. We can prevent these tragedies with one easy habit. Always stop and look for kids before you lock your car and walk away. It only takes a second and can save a child's life. Remember, stop, look, and lock. A message from ODOT.
Coffee for Mid-Columbia Today guests is provided by Hood River Coffee Roasters, the gorgeous local coffee roasters on Tucker Road on the Heights in Hood River.
I made Cameron worry there. The conversation continues after the show. We've always had a joke here that we could do pay-per-listen during the commercials. Well, people on the radio are listening to the commercials. Some sort of internet, $19.95 a month. To hear what goes on in the breaks. We thank Jeff. I want to thank everybody who comes on for the legislatures. I mean, we complain, we do all these things, but the guys who come on all the time, you know, and women, thank you. because that's great. I think it's good people get to hear you a little unfiltered. So anyway, here's the news. Speaking of, Oregon Senator Jeff Merkley is going to run for re-election in 2026. The announcement comes as the congressman approaches the end of his third term. For months, Merkley had not confirmed or denied rumors that he might step down from office after his current term. Coin TV, by the way, reporting a spokesperson for 76-year-old Oregon Senator Ron Wyden said he intends to run for re-election in 2028. Oregon Department of Emergency Management, Oregon Department of Environmental Quality, and Wasco County are continuing to strongly recommend Rowena Fire property owners not perform cleanup themselves because of serious toxic hazard threats posed by burned homes and outbuildings. The agencies say burned materials are hazardous and require more than gloves and a mask to protect health. Buildings constructed before 2004 are likely to contain asbestos, which is carcinogenic. If residents do decide to do their own cleanup, they should wear appropriate personal protective equipment. Also, avoid bringing ash from the outside to the inside. Keep indoor spaces clean from ash and minimize other pollutants. The Oregon Department of Environmental Quality is providing technical assistance and coordinating with subject matter experts to support safe debris management. The Hood River County School District has appointed Dan Barnard as the interim principal of Bay Street Elementary School for the upcoming 2025-26 academic year. Barnard, who was initially slated to serve as assistant principal there, has 19 years of experience in education, the past 4 years assistant principal at Westside Elementary. The district will continue its search for a permanent principal for Bay Street, and they'll post that position in the hiring season for that sort of thing in February 2026. The industrial fire precaution level has gone up to 3 in MH1, 2 in MH4, which applies to operations east of Highway 35 within the Dalles unit of the Oregon Department of Forestry's fire protection. Due to a rise in temperatures and windy conditions, the fine fuels in the district are significantly dry and susceptible to ignition. For all the information, go to the Oregon Department of Forestry's website. It is 8:41. We'll get to Dr. Cheryl Rager right after this.
Hi, it's Melissa Del Carpine here. Did you know 10 minutes is about the time it takes to make your morning coffee, finish a good dad joke, and drive to our new shop?
Yep.
We moved up the hill on Eagle Loop in Odell with more parking and in a beautiful setting. Same unbeatable service for all your vehicles. Have you been putting off getting the scheduled maintenance done on your vehicle? Come see us. We look forward to welcoming you to our new home in Odell. At Del Carpine Automotive, no job is too big or too small. We work on them all. We're gorge grown and gorge strong.
We are the NFHS. That stands for the National Federation of State High School Associations. But really, what we stand for, together with the OSAA, are the 99,000 high school sports and performing arts students in Oregon. And so, we stand. We stand for the runners, debate team members, and basketball players. We stand for their coaches, officials, and adjudicators. We stand for the drummers, football players, and actors. We stand for the golfers, singers, and swimmers. We stand as the national leader and advocate for these essential activities and all who participate in them and make them possible. Because it is our purpose to ensure that high school students get to play, perform, and compete together. To learn more about who we are and what we stand for, visit nfhs.org.
Here's my bucket list for the day. Read an article on a new subject. Say only nice things about others. And listen to everyone's opinions. Because making things better requires change. Now, these changes aren't going to show up on your news feed, but they're things I can do. So change something today. It's not going to change the entire world, but it's going to change your world. Change is in you.
Pass it on.
From PassItOn.com.
Mid-Columbia Today is a public affairs program of Bicoastal Media Columbia River, AM 1340 and 98.3 FM KIHR, News Radio 1300 and 103.9 KACI, and GorgeRadio.com. Now, back to Mark.
8:43 in the morning on MCT as we are now joined on the telephone by from the Columbia Gorge Discovery Center, Executive Director Dr. Cheryl Rager. Good morning, Cheryl. Apologies. We got running a little late with our first guest.
Oh, no need for an apology. I was listening as well. It's always interesting to hear what's going on with our taxes and government and all of those, all where things are going. So I enjoyed that as well.
Well, hopefully everybody else did out there as well. Let's talk about the Discovery Center, because I think when we last talked to you, it really, the Rowena fire, was, we were still in the midst of it at that point. And and you, I don't think had had a chance. You had been unable to get a look at the facility in the aftermath of the fire. So now you guys have been in there working on cleanup. What did you find when you were able to get in?
Well, it's really interesting because even when you introduced me, you said coming, you know, live from the Discovery Center. And, of course, I'm not at the Discovery Center right now. I'm actually at my home because, like everybody else, I've been working in other places. For me, that's home for, well, weeks now, right? But there is a lot going on out there, even though I'm not out there working. We have a full crew, a large crew of professional cleaners that are in right now. When I came into the building the first time, as you say, it was overwhelming, the smell of smoke and all of that other good stuff that you know was in the smoke. In the building, it was really sort of overwhelming, and of course I may have mentioned even then I knew we had had some water damage. We were lucky a very small spot, but on the patio area that's adjacent to our cafe upstairs had actually caught fire. And so, you know, the fire crews, as they would have to do, put their hoses on that and got it out, which is amazing. But that water just flowed right down the walls into the administrative offices. So all of that water remediation has been going on as well. But they're in there. There's a lot of them. They're doing all the layers of cleaning that it takes to make the air healthy, because we want our visitors back, but we want them back in a place that's healthy for them, a place that's healthy for my staff, and, you know, a place that'll be clean, and we'll all be happy to be in there again.
And I believe, I'm not sure you got to this, right? I maybe missed it, but you've been working, of course, you need a new air conditioning system out there for a while, your HVAC. And I think it sounds like when you open this back up, you're going to have that in place as well.
Yes, thank you for segueing right to my next point. Yes, I am beyond excited. I don't even know how to express it. I got to see this week the new chiller is in place. It's huge. It's an air chilled system. It's in the back. They are putting it in right now, and our fingers are crossed. They told us it should be in about a week. So when we open up, we'll have a nice, fresh, clean areas, public areas, and we'll have nice, cold air conditioning. It's going to be a real celebration for us, for sure. Mm-hmm.
Outside the building, on the grounds itself, what occurred out there? I know there was a lot of a fire around that building.
Yes, exactly. You know, we're as we always say, and I always like to make the point, we are so grateful that the building stands as it does. That's just thanks to all the hard work of the people fighting the fire, because when you go out there and look at the grounds around the building, the fire was, you know, feet from the building, all sort of around it. You've got burning right up on the trail that's on the south side, to the point that we've had to close one of the shorter trails back there on the south side because we have a number of large trees that are going to have to be removed before people can safely walk along the path. So fire completely over there on the side, you know, all along the highway. And then it came around. So when you look out the beautiful river gallery and our statue of the stag, it's now charred land, although there are signs of life everywhere. There's green. It's amazing to watch. There's green popping up in those spaces. And then it followed it around the fire, or it looks that way anyway, and came right along the river. So, you know, on that north side, all of our fence posts for our fencing along the river are going to have to be replaced. You know, trees and shrubs and all of that kind of removal is scheduled. But as you can imagine, the people that are doing that are very busy right now. So that's going to take a little bit of time as well.
So it appears from a letter that you sent out to your supporters, August is the target. Is that right?
That is right. And in fact, I'm going to meet with key members of my team on Monday and talk about how we open, how we may be able to do it in stages. For example, we're thinking about ways when they get the public areas, the River Gallery and the cafe and the Explorer Room for the kids, when they get those areas cleaned, how can we open and offer our community who, you know, we feel so, it's so important for us to be part of, how can we open it up, maybe offer a cool space for people to come that don't have cool spaces, a place for kids to run around, but even before the exhibits are open, because we have to get the public spaces, you know, cleaned before we can do the exhibits. So we're working on things that we might be able to do, things that, you know, opening the doors without charging people to come in and, like I said, get cool and give parents a place to bring their kids. So it's probably not going to open up like it's been, just, you know, everything's open and everything's available until even maybe September. But we do want to get the doors open as soon as possible. We want people to come out and look. You know, the story of the wildfire is now part of the story of the museum, the grounds that we're on, seeing the new growth coming in. That's a story that people need to come out and experience, as well as, you know, all the usual sorts of things.
One more question before we get away here. We are running really, really tight on time here, but I feel like I should ask this. This occurs just as what your busiest season, I believe, would have been starting, of the summer season, the tourist season. How is all this impacting the Discovery Center as far as its fiscal situation?
Yeah, that's a complicated question, and it is a really important one. It impacts it a lot. You're right. We have lost out on the typical special events that we have, weddings and meetings and fun events that would have been held there. We've lost out on the visits from the cruise lines. Because obviously those folks can't come in. Many of them are elderly, and so we have to make sure the air is particularly healthy for them to be visiting again. So we've lost out on a lot. Now, of course, thankfully, we do have insurance, so many of our costs will be covered this round. But when you combine it with the ongoing efforts to raise the money to pay for the air conditioning. I think I mentioned this last time. We got a loan to pay for our air conditioning, but we still have to pay that loan back. So when you combine those things all together, it is a time of, what do I want to say? It's a time when we need all the support we can get. And I was thinking about, as you were talking in the previous moment, a lot of people are really shocked to learn that we're not government supported. We're not supported at the, you know, local, state, or county levels, aside from grants that we write and receive and things like that, for which we're really grateful. But all of our support is, you know, we have to come up with. It's our membership, it's our admissions, it's our events, and so it's a time of really great need for us. And you know, I mean, it's as simple as that. It's a time of great need, and we're looking for ways to reach out and get those needs taken care of. But It's not perfect timing. It's not perfect timing, but we'll be back. We'll be even better. And I am absolutely certain that you know, now that we have all the things we need, the heating and air conditioning, a clean, fresh building, an amazing team that's been working through all of this. My ed team has been holding summer classes. The Raptors are back. The Raptor teams have been making things even better in those areas. We're serving as a community partner for the county and the state in their
process. Cheryl, I'm sorry to interrupt you here, but we really hit the wall in time here, so I do need to run.
Okay.
Hey, Cheryl, thank you for doing this. Appreciate it.
I appreciate your time, Mark. Thank you.
Dr. Cheryl Ranger, Columbia Gorge Discovery Center, back after this.
Bring the beauty of nature into your home with DeWills Cabinetry's new paint color palette. A stunning collection inspired by the serene, restorative hues of the great outdoors. From earthy tones to vibrant hues, these colors create spaces that feel calm, harmonious, and timeless. Explore the new collection and discover the perfect shade for your home at Adams Design Center, home of DeWills Cabinets at 319 East 2nd Street in the Dalles, or visit us online at adamsdesigncenter.com.
Hey CGCC students, if you're tired of long commutes, expensive rent, and utility bills, check out our campus housing. $715 a month gets you into a suite in the newest building on campus with free Wi-Fi, utilities, parking, and 5 meals a week at the campus cafe. Each suite has 2 bedrooms, a bathroom, and a shared living room with modern kitchen, comfy lounge, and laundry right down the hall. Best of all, it's students only. Don't wait. Visit the Live Here link at cgcc.edu today.
I am Amy Knowles. I grew up here in White Salmon. I call this my home. I am the pharmacy director here at Skyline Health. Skyline Hospital is more than just a hospital. It's a lifeline for our community. Our patients are my neighbors, my friends, the people I grew up with. At the end of the day, it's about caring for the people who trust us with their health. I'm proud to be part of a team who takes caring for our community so seriously and a priority for everything we do here every day. I am Skyline.
When you've got real work to do, Metal Supermarkets will help you get it done fast. With a huge variety of metals in stock, we can help no matter what job comes your way. And all it takes is a few clicks. We make buying metal online easy, so you can spend less time shopping and more time getting things done. Metal Supermarkets, the convenient stores for metal. Place an order online today at metalsupermarkets.com.
Tune in weekday mornings at 8:05 and keep up with community events and issues with the Mid-Columbia Today Show on the Mid-Columbia's news leaders, AM 1340 and 98.3 FM KIHR, and News Radio 1300 and 103.9 KACI.
Mid-Columbia Today is brought to you by GorgeNet, Gorge Recovery Service, and Skyline Hospital. 8:57 in the morning. Here's what's coming up next week when Marty Dane sits in my seat. First of all, Mark Hickok, Hooter Valley Parks Recreation District Executive Director. They'll talk about what they're thinking about in regards to the future of the Hooter Valley Aquatic Center. Portland Isles Executive Director Andrea Claus will be here also. Tuesday, Hood River County School District Superintendent Bill Newton and Mayor of White Salmon, Marla Keeler, will join us. On Wednesday on the show, Amy Yell, Dallas City Clerk, talk about the City Government Academy they hold every year. They're taking applications for the session that starts in late August. White Sand Valley School Superintendent Rich Polkinghorne will be along. Jessica Mehta to talk Rowena Fire Recovery on Thursday. Plus, we'll have a preview of the Hood River County Fair. Friday on the show, we will have with us Skamania County Sheriff Summer Shire, talk about search and rescue, and boy, they've had a lot more calls than usual in Skamania County. Ian Chandler, the Dallas Orchardist, Oregon Sweet Cherry Commission Board Chair, going to talk about impact on the immigration issues and what it's doing to labor supply when it comes to harvest of our fruit in this area. Should be an interesting week. For Cameron Eisenberg, I'll try to keep everything together over the next week, keep everything going. I'm Mark Bailey. Enjoy the next few days. I'll talk to you again on the 21st.
The Mid-Columbia Today Show is a public affairs presentation of Bicoastal Media Columbia River. The views expressed on the program are not necessarily those of the station, parent company, or of the sponsors. We welcome your suggestions for future shows. Call us at 888-786-1511. Thanks for listening to Mid-Columbia Today.
Thinking of climbing